Good morning, family. It's good to see you today. You look great. Or at least, I assume so. And if you don't, well, then I'm even more thankful that we have this technology to communicate from afar. In all seriousness, it's a blessing for us to continue to seek to assemble. And even though it's not what we desire and being together face to face, it's the right thing for us to be doing to continue to take intentional moments, intentional time to be a part of the body. Today's lesson is titled Wrong Place, Right Time. And we're going to be looking at the first couple verses of chapter 2 of Colossians, continuing our series in this letter. So let's turn over to Colossians 2. We're going to recap with just the last couple verses, chapter 1, and jump right in. So starting verse 28 of chapter 1. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face. A couple things to take note here. The first in verse 28, where he says, him we proclaim, that the proclamation of Christ is something we are collectively participating in. Also, we note here that Paul is struggling with not being able to be physically present with the brothers and sisters in Colossae and Laodicea. He's, for all intents and purposes, quarantined by the government in a prison cell at this time. So while we're not in prison right now, there's a few parallels we can draw between what he's experiencing here and what we're experiencing now, and that it's hard to not be physically present with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, not only do we see parallels in that it's difficult to be separated, there's something really important to note from this, and that is how important it is to express that struggle of being physically distanced from each other. Listen again to verse 1 of chapter 2. For I want you to know how great of a struggle I have for you and for all those at Laodicea and all who have not seen me face to face. That, this is why he wants them to know, that their hearts may be encouraged. So by learning and being aware of his struggle for them, their hearts are going to be affected, specifically encouraged. And that's a really big deal, because encouragement is not just some more spring in your step, a feel-good pep talk. Encouragement is a spiritual gift from God for you to have a strengthened will and resolve to do the next right thing. How important do you think encouragement was to Paul? Think back to his first couple chapters of ministry. Who was his traveling companion that the Holy Spirit picked out to go with him? Barnabas, son of encouragement. So in our collective purpose of proclaiming Christ and presenting people mature to Christ, in this life, encouragement is not just a nicety we occasionally get to enjoy, but it is something we truly, desperately need to increase our strength and will to do the next right thing. So what is the next right thing? What should encourage us? What should encouragement drive us to pursue, to choose? We see it here in verse 2, the second half of it now. Being knit together in love. You see, as Christians, again, we're not designed to be alone. We're designed to be combined, woven in together as a body, many parts making a whole. I believe it was Aristotle who said that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. I don't think that could be more true about the church. But there's something more when all of us are together than just a group of individuals. We're not just 300 individuals in a room together or as an assembled congregation, but we are the body of Christ, made up of many members. We're designed to be knit together in love. So that's the right thing that we're to be doing, being knit together. But what's the purpose of being knit together? Why is that a big deal? Let's keep reading. We're going to see why. To reach, here's some big words, all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So the purpose of being connected to each other and God is to know Christ more, to know the mystery more. So Christ is the mystery. In my mind, it compares to something like algebra, where you have the answer already given, but there's certain elements of the equation that are unknown variables. And I think life is like that now as Christians, where we know the mystery, the answer is Jesus. And we know some information about the past and things going on now, but then there's some unknown variables, some things that we don't quite understand why they're happening or what's going to happen with them. Don't know how long the pandemic's going to last. Don't know when the vaccine's going to be found out. Don't know how long we're physically going to live. There's some unknown variables in this equation of life, but the answer, the mystery, the conclusion of it all, the things that adds all up to, is Jesus. And now that we know that mystery, and we're continuing to know that mystery more, it makes the rest of the equation make a whole lot more sense. And to the point where when we face really uncomfortable and unpredictable circumstances, we can have an unshakable resolve to know that in the end, Christ. And that is a treasure trove of confidence and of assurance. And that's a well that never goes empty, that we constantly get to take from. And like Jesus says, we drink this water, we're never thirsty again. Now that we see this mystery, it answers things. So this is the purpose. And it gives us great confidence, even in times of uncertainty. Now, God is speaking to us through His Word. And He's also not the only voice that we're being exposed to. He's the only true voice. But there's a lot of chatter in this world, a lot of opinions, a lot of yapping. And for those that are at home a lot more right now, we're probably utilizing technology and our screens a lot more than before. And technology is an excellent servant, but it is a terrible master. And if we give ourselves to all the voices of the world, there is a possibility that we will delude our faith, that we will buy into some of these voices, and that is a risk that we face. And we're warned about it here in the next verse. So verse 4, I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. There was a time in South Africa, my first month I was there, and I went to the store and I saw this container, the large container of orange juice. It looked delicious. So I purchased it and took it home and I started drinking it. I drank most of it. And as I was drinking it, I was like, wow, this stuff is really thick and syrupy and very strong. It's tasty. And I guess this is just how orange juice is in South Africa. Well, unknown to me until my teammate pointed it out, the bottom of this container was the word concentrate. And I had just drank a large container of orange juice concentrate. He then suggested that I really needed to drink a whole lot of water to balance my system out, because this container of concentrate was supposed to produce like 8 liters of orange juice, some large amount. So I drank a lot of water to be careful. I was trying to dilute this thing that I had put in me. The world perceives often Jesus this way, that he said some good things, but that really you need to add a lot of other things to him for it to be more palpable. And this couldn't be further from the truth. Jesus does not need to be watered down. He is in himself completely sufficient and true. Do not let the world water down your faith. Technology is not evil, but it can be a gateway to evil things. And be careful what we're exposing ourselves to and what we're listening to during this time, and not just this time, but the rest of our lives. Let's make sure that we don't water down our faith. Let's not be deluded disciples. So now verse 5, we're going to see that the Christians in Colossae were not deluded. They were doing some really good things, and they had some character traits that we should seek to emulate ourselves. So let's read this now, verse 5. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. So first, we see that being present in spirit is not just like a cop-out saying, it's something that's actually true. It's what's going on now with us here. We're not together in the flesh, we're together in spirit, and that's awesome. Of course, we long to be together in flesh, but that doesn't mean that we're not together at all. So I find that to be interesting. But onto the character traits of Colossae now. The first one that's noted is that they had good order, that they were disciplined. That's a character trait we should really be intentional with right now, especially since many of us, our schedules have changed in the last few months, and perhaps a lot of people are working from home or they don't have a job at the moment. And it's easy to want to just kind of veg and start becoming more and more a potato. And on a physical level, it's not very wise. But on a spiritual level, it's awful. We can't afford to let ourselves become unintentional with our time. So let's use this time. Let's be disciplined. Let's have good order with our lives, that we're making the best use of the time that we've been given. So go for a walk today and spend some time working with your family. Go do something together. Or better yet, take time to work on your family and minister to them, serve them. Or even best yet, take time to let God work on you and for you to have an increase of being knit together in love with him and his people, and to dig up these treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are hidden in Christ. Go find some of those treasures with him. And the second character trait now that we see with Colossae is that they had a firm faith. So let's firm up our faith. And let's find the courage from his word and from each other to do the next right thing. And from looking at this passage, we know what the right thing is. It's Christ. So let's not become deluded Christians by constantly just listening to the news and hearing every social media post about this and that. Of course, it's great to be informed, but not just things about the virus, but things about life. Let's make sure that we are getting our truth from God and not from man, is really what it comes down to. Our faith needs to be firm, not squishy and flimsy, and needs to be solid, not liquid, that when the world pours on us this, you know, heap of all sorts of lies, liquid lies, it doesn't mix with us, but it runs off of us like water over a rock, because our faith is solid, not liquid, where things can just get added and mixed in. So let's be of good order, let's be disciplined, let's be firm in our faith, let's be pursuing this mystery and knowing that Christ is everything. He is completely sufficient. Let's be knit together in that. Let's be knit together as a church, pursuing that mystery and proclaiming him collectively to the world. And let's be expressive to each other. That's hard to not be together. And let's make that known so that can encourage us. Because encouragement is a really big deal. If you're lonely right now, if you are feeling isolated and disconnected from the body, I know it's not much, but I'll be at the office or in the church building here on Mondays through Friday from 8 to 11. If you just need someone to come talk to, face to face, pray with together, I'll be available for that. And I know Robert and the elders and many other Christian individuals here would love to be connected. We're trying to call an outreach, be together. So if you are struggling with not being face to face, it is a good thing, not just for you, but for us to receive that expression of that struggling, just like Paul wanted the Christians here to know. So this morning's lesson, I want to conclude with that it might feel like we're in the wrong place. It feels kind of wrong to be so isolated in the pandemic and everything going on. It feels like we're in the wrong place, but this is the right time to be faithful and to do the next right thing. Let's be connected to God and his people. And I will leave you this morning with a message from God, from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God goes with you wherever you go.